Where in the world is Justin Wong? It's Overseas Experience, your international news update on 95BFM.
Yes, this week's international desk goes to Libya, as Libya's internationally recognised government of national accord has rejected a ceasefire unilaterally called by its rival General Khalifa Haftar last Thursday, after he claimed 2 days before that he has a quote-unquote popular mandate to govern the country. The government of national accord also accused Haftar of seeking to stage a new coup. The situation in Libya now was forces loyal to the government of national accord, which is based at the Libyan capital Tripoli, are gaining successes against Haftar's army. Just over a year, it launched an offensive in hopes to take the capital. How did Libya end up in this situation, and what is happening now is a bit complicated to explain, but more or less it started in 2011 after Muammar Gaddafi was ousted from power. After Gaddafi was overthrown and killed in 2011, the situation in Libya fell into a state of lawlessness. The anti-Gaddafi opposition was not united to begin with because it was made up of factions of different ideologies, including Islamists, liberals, and even monarchists who wanted to restore the royal house, which was dissolved by Gaddafi after a coup in 1969. Furthermore, these militias were also split along regional, ethnic, and local lines. With Gaddafi gone, factions began to fight against each other to seize power during the vacuum. 1 year after the end of Gaddafi's regime in 2012, the Provisional Government, the National Transitional Council, transferred ruling power to a new legislative authority, the General National Congress. It was elected popularly, and its main job was to transition Libya to a permanent democratic constitution within 18 months. After that passed without any success in August 2014, elections were held for a new legislative authority, the House of Representatives. While the election saw a victory for liberals and nationalists and a defeat for Islamist groups, the turnout was very low at only 18% because some places didn't vote at all because of security reasons. Politicians from the blocs who lost the election, which are mostly Islamist parties, decided to claim the General National Congress as the only legitimate Libyan parliament and refused to sit at the House of Representatives. Islamist politicians who were elected at the House of Representatives also chose to sit at the General National Congress instead, resulting in the Congress dominated by the Justice and Construction Party, a Sunni Islamist party affiliated with the Muslim Brotherhood, which is an organization that was supported by Qatar and Turkey, but considered as terrorist by Russia, Egypt, and the United Arab Emirates. But that's another story. After Islamist militias took control of the capital Tripoli, the House of Representatives moved east to Tobruk, a city close to the Egyptian border where it is still there today. If some listeners think the name Tobruk sounds familiar, yes, it was the same city that was garrisoned by Allied troops when it was sieged by Axis forces in 1941, before being relieved by British reinforcements, including the New Zealand Division. Anyway, in 2015, the United Nations started peace talks between the two factions and in December produced a political agreement in Skhirat, Morocco. The agreement created a 9-member presidential council to act as Libya's head of state and the government of national accord to act as its executive branch, while designating the House of Representatives in Tobruk to act as the legislature. While the government is selected by the Presidential Council, they were approved by the House of Representatives. Fayez al-Sarraj took the job of Prime Minister and the head of the Presidential Council in March 2016. The National General Congress now was left without a purpose and was dissolved in the same year. Seems all worked out? Well, not exactly. While some members from the House of Representatives supported the UN political agreement, it has not approved the government of national accord. In addition, the House appointed Khalifa Haftar, who leads a self-styled force called the Libyan National Army, as the supreme commander of its armed forces. Haftar's influence in Libyan politics spanned since Gaddafi took power in the 1970s. In fact, he was once a Gaddafi ally, having been in the same group of officers that seized power from King Idris in 1969. However, Gaddafi and Haftar fell out in the 1980s when Libya failed to invade French-supported Chad. after was captured, but he was released around 1990 in a deal with the United States and spent nearly two decades living in Langley, Virginia, to work towards removing Gaddafi from power whilst becoming a US citizen. He returned to Libya after Gaddafi's downfall and again to prominence in 2014, when Libya's second largest city, Benghazi, had been taken over by Islamist groups. He launched Operation Dignity with his Libyan National Army and drove Islamist militants out of the town in 2016. Since then, he has declared the UN political agreement null and void while launching an offensive last year, hoping to take the capital Tripoli. While some voices in Libya are fed up with the insecurity, weak governments, and the corruption amongst powerful militias who control the capital, and feel a strong man may be able to bring some authority to the lawless nation, critics have questioned Haftar's connections with the US and Gaddafi, saying that he wants to install a new military dictatorship. For now, the House of Representatives in Tobruk have not said whether it supports Haftar's claim that he has the mandate to govern Libya. But as the BBC wrote last April analysing the situation then, Haftar has been ambiguous about his own political ambition. It is likely that this is confined to a key role for himself in the new army under the National Unity Government, and more generally, for the Libyan National Army and the new armed forces. Yes, but this civil war in Libya has descended into another proxy war between major world powers. While on politically, Saudi Arabia, Egypt and the United Arab Emirates see in Haftar an ally against the spread of political Islam, and in particular the Muslim Brotherhood, which I mentioned earlier, they listed as a terrorist organisation and has a faction within the government of National Accord in Tripoli. On the other hand, Turkey and Qatar are backers of the Muslim Brotherhood and they support the Tripoli government, and Turkish forces have been deployed to help the al-Sarraj government. Russia is also trying to expand its influence against Turkey by supporting Haftar, and they were accused of sending mercenaries to aid the Libyan National Army. But other than politics and ideology, natural resources and state assets is also an important factor why this infighting prolonged and descended into a proxy war. Because Libya has the largest oil reserves in Africa, and currently it has $67 billion worth of frozen assets overseas. While the National Oil Corporation tries to stay out of the conflict, the revenue it generates only goes to the central bank in Tripoli, which in turn only works with Fayez al-Sarraj and his government of National Accord, and Haftar is trying to set up his own company to export oil and earn some foreign revenue. And that's why almost all international actors in this crisis are hoping to have a slice of Libya's rich oil and gas reserves out of this. For example, Moscow's national-owned Tefnet oil company has been exploring oil in the Hamada area, while Ankara and the al-Sarraj government recently signed a contentious maritime boundary agreement that would see Turkey claim parts of the eastern Mediterranean, an area thought to contain vast gas reserves as its own, which angered some European leaders. While we are on the subject of Europe, the European Union supports the Tripoli government as they already have a deal with them which they will aid Libyan authorities and militias loyal to them to intercept migrants at the Mediterranean before they reach Europe. However, two of their member states, France and Italy, are backing opposite sides, with Paris supporting Haftar and Rome the government of National Accord in Tripoli. Let's go to Italy first. Italy, which is the former colonial ruler in Libya, also has a separate deal with Tripoli, which Rome agreed to train, equip and finance the Libyan Coast Guard, including providing four patrol vessels to stop migrants from arriving at the Italian coast. Italy is also relying on the al-Sarraj government to secure its interests in the country, especially on access to its oil and gas reserves. But for France, apart from oil and gas, it has other interests on its sights, particularly on suppressing extremism in the Sahara region in West Africa. Now, if this seems a bit far-fetched to you, considering Libya is on the north coast of Africa, while
France is concerned about West Africa. I'll explain why. The French government is now finding themselves stuck in the fight against other Islamist fighters in Mali and Niger, and the situation is not improving with arms flowing in from Libya, particularly from Gaddafi's arms reserves. Paris believes a strong ruler like Haftar could restore law and order in Libya and stem the flow of weapons and resources to extremists in other areas, particularly for them, the Sahel region. And that is international news for this week.
Overseas Experience with Justin Wong, only on 95 BFM.